Greetings, everybody. This is Pastor Buddy welcoming you tonight with us to the Shepherd's Call. We're going to get into part two of our message tonight. Last night, we started in the Scriptures, and we were describing the adventures, if you will, of the four faces of the directions that the Spirit can go. You know, the Bible says that the path to the Master, for instance, if you were standing on the top of the world, back to back, and you had four men facing east, west, north, and south, and commanded them to march, they would eventually become face to face at the gathering place at the bottom of the earth, which would be the South Pole. And so then, everyone aligned in his path. The Father's got a path alignment for every soul. Every soul is unique. Every path is somewhat different. And every path searches the heart of man as he is allotted the specifics of his objectives, which is into this world. And man comes over here into this life, and we tend to think that we possibly have been here before, and quite possibly will, perhaps, be here again. And in that sense, it is a very, very frightening to know that we might have to come back here. So then, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. For God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or evil. Therefore, man must answer as face answers to face in a mirror. Behold, what manner of man thou art. We've all made failures. We all make mistakes. We all stumble. As we head toward our destiny with the allotted days that we have here upon the earth. Now, ladies and gentlemen, it is one thing to be in pursuit of truth. Truth is the ultimate objective of your journey here into this particular time zone. By coming into the time zone of reality, you will become what is known as a seeker of the path. The Bible said, see and ask for the old path. Now, what about the old path and the many paths that are assigned objectives to each individual soul? For instance, I was born a Baptist. I grew up in a Baptist church. I had a Baptist way of thinking about everything, and in some cases still do, because it seems like that if you train up a child in the way it should go, it will not depart when it's old. Now, the old saying, you can't teach an old dog new tricks. There's a lot of truth in that, but if enough patience and enough time is spent on the perfecting or to polish or to renew day by day your faith in the Father and his divine purposes, and you seek to be filled with his righteousness, and you're hungering and thirsting after that righteousness, in hot pursuit as a deer, paineth after the water brook, so to speak, than the soul in its needs. Who better than the Father, the Almighty Spirit, who knoweth all things, by the way, and seeth all things. It's amazing how that he can keep track with every hair on every head that is accounted for him and to his. Now, the question is there a generation of people upon the earth that he cares nothing about? Well, in a sense, yes, in a sense, no. Let me give you an explanation there. The Bible says that there are some made, natural, brute beast, made to be taken and destroyed in the fire. And so then, in a negative sense, they are made for the reflection of the light. You would have never appreciated light or recognized the need for light except there had been darkness. So then there is a segment of society, even at this present time, that fulfills its role. God shall send them a strong delusion to believe a lie and be damned. Just pray it's not you. Just pray that you haven't been given a delusion. Just pray that you're not deceived. Pray that you see the light. And when you find it, walk in and find the rest deserving for that soul. You know, a weary desert traveler, after many miles across the barren desert, where there is little to sustain man or beast, and that's what the adventure of earth is. Oh, yes, we have plenty to eat, drink, wear, think, see, ask, smell, hear, touch, the physical realm here. But there's, you have to mind deep. You have to deep mind the things that belong to the Father. The things that belong to the Father are indeed the deep things. Now, the Bible said it's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of a living God. Are you withdrawing or are you reluctant to let go? If you take a jump, as a father would encourage his young son, putting him up on a high perch and then encourage him to jump into his waiting arms. The child, reluctant, although he loves his father and trusts, and would like to get down from the lofty height where he has been placed, is somewhat reluctant to jump because of the fear of heights and the fear of the unknown. Will he catch me or will he drop me? Well, that is the question tonight for the soul. Now, the soul that's weighed in the balance. Who weighs the soul at its departure station when it arrives on the other side of what we call the veil? And there is a veil. It looks like space, but in reality, ladies and gentlemen, when you draw your last breath and pass the dividing line, or the silver cord that is spoken of in the Bible is broken, we'll talk about those things, then you are taken into the light. It's like a tunnel of light, and you are drawn, and this is a natural occurrence, into the light, and then you're gathered into the waiting arms of the angels who are given charge over the particular level that you ascend to. Yes, indeed, there are different levels of different understanding and comprehension and different needs for different souls as they are in the process of going back, ascending back to the Father. Now, I'll describe that one talent, two talent, three talent, four, and so on and so forth, meaning that the responsibility of the abilities given to you on the other side to come over here and to function within the realm of the possibilities that's been offered to you, a detailed diagram pre-conditioned, a predetermination, a set of rules and regulations or objectives has been drawn out for you. Therefore, as I said last night, Jeremiah, who came to be a preacher. Not all men come over here to be preachers. Not all men come to be teachers. Not all men come to be evangelists or whatever talent gift that they're given. Some come just to hear those gifted ones teach and preach and revelate the things that's hidden from the foundation of the world, revealed to babes and sucklings, given to special gifted people to revelate. Now, it'd be better for you not to know the way and know it and not obey it. Many people come and hide, bury, deny, do not use, overlook, or have no use for the talents given. A lot of people gifted into the musical instrument playing abilities use their talents to go to Nashville, Hollywood, or places in between to perform for filthy lucre, to be rich and famous. When that talent is being analyzed and given to you in the pre-proposed, predestinated areas of the levels where you came from, you shall return if you are a spirit being. Now, the Bible said that no man is ascended into heaven save he which came down out of heaven, even the Son of Man, which is in heaven, which was at the time speaking upon the earth. Got that? No man, no woman, or no child shall ascend back into heaven save he which came down out of heaven. So, to go back to the level you came from, you must first have an experience of that level, and you must have gained access to that level by your merited worthiness, meaning that you proved your worthiness by a pre-life existence, either here or both, and in this case, I believe that this level of earth, that everyone incarnated here that will go back into the upper levels have been here before. Now, Christ described that in the book of, and matter of fact, he was the one that revealed a lot of things, along with the Apostle Paul, and in some instances, Mark, Luke, and John, and Matthew, the one I revealed to you last night, talking about the experiences that they had of the four faces of the creature that turned every way, which represents, if you will, the flame and sword of the constellations 12 over your head, every soul assigned specifically to a birth sign. And as it is recorded in the 28th chapter of the book of Exodus, that you must have access to the knowledge, or you should have, to your birth sign. In the tribes that you came from the bloodline of Jacob, Isaac, and Abraham, which is very important, if you're not from that family, if you're not chosen from that blood genetic offspring family, there's no covenant written to, for, or about you. You could be here to serve other purposes, of course, but the covenant of Scripture written and compiled and saved and passed down and handed down is not to, for, and about the world. God did not love the world, and he doesn't love anyone that does love the world that I know of. He that loves the world, the love of the Father ain't in him. He that loves the world has not seen God. You understand what I'm talking about in a relationship of the application that the world standards or the world that exists is a contrast, a reaction of darkness to bring you through the womb or the birth canal, and that symbolizes darkness, Egypt. And most people need the darkness to appreciate the light. When you spring in at birth, a newborn birth, a soul that just came down the birth canal of its mother, the dark canal, then you exploded suddenly upon the scene when you begin to become a air-breathing individual born of earth. It is strange how that the sperm of a male can fertilize the egg of a female and they can bring forth an earth creature, an earth being, born of the dust, and dust it shall return. Now, it shouldn't have been that way, but it is. And therefore, God shall cut short the days of the allotted time for these souls that he may speed up the incarnations of evolution as you progress back toward the Father, back toward the Son, and back toward the family that the whole heavens and earth is named. And if you belong to, for, and about that family that the book is written, as it is recorded, you are a son of Yahweh, then your heavenly Father and the kingdom principles is all in that name. So that's how you find your family. That's how you find your family name. Well, it's true that most of the time we don't treat those that are in the name as family. We should, but we don't. We are most easily offended. We most easily get discouraged. We most easily curse God and die right here literally. Certain things will cause us to be offended. And the Bible said, blessed are they that are not offended in me. For it is needful that offenses come. Now the need is to try your spirit. The Bible says, every son he receives, he chastens him or tries him to see the quality of the character and the ability to actually roll with life's flow. And as the old saying goes, and I like this, if life gives you a lemon, squeeze it and sell lemonade. So, but, you know, we can't all do that. We all have to be taught, or we have to go through learning situations. I've often said this, you learn more by your trials and tribulations and darkness than you do in your victories and successes in the light. The successes in the light of the efforts of your being go to your head. It causes your head to swell, as it did Paul, who was exalted above measure. And therefore, through the abundance of the revelations given to him, he began to be exalted in his head. And the Father had to insert, if you will, a fleshly thorn of reminder that he was just a flesh being to bring him back to the state of reality that the Spirit is that given to profit with, and that not by your own works, but by the grace, faith, or works, purposes of God. Whatever God has given you, use it to the utmost maximum. Be a good, strong witness. Go about your daily activities, your job, singing and making melody in your heart, praising the Father, thanking Him for your blessings, thanking Him for your food, thanking Him for your health, your strength, your little family, and all the things that He's provided for you, and for that, be thankful. And live at peace with all men, if possible. He that believeth on me, as the scriptures have said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. I go my way, you shall seek me, and shall die in your sins. For where I go, you cannot come. They said, where will you go that we can't come? Here is his reply to them. There is a place where somebody can go. There is a place that the eye of the wicked has not seen. The ear of the wicked has not heard. The heart of the wicked that it cannot enter into. There is a way that seemeth right, and these four faces of the creature and the creatures of Ezekiel chapter 1, verse 10, they demonstrate the procession of your soul as it goes into the incarnations, birth and rebirth canal, both spiritually and the natural, that you may teach your spirit obedience by the earthly incarnations given it in the allotted time, nothing new under the sun. John the Baptist was literally the spirit of Elijah, for he's done come. Matthew, the face of the lion figure, represent Matthew. I gave you the ties, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, the four Gospels. Ever wonder why they were four, each one associated with the divine covenant of revelation expressed through his Yod-Heh-Vah-Heh? The four sacred letters, which is called the Tetragrammaton, linked interlinkingly with the 12 consolations, and 3 times 4 is 12. So the purpose of water, blood, and spirit, the 3 aspects of developing in you a pathway that you have chosen or have been pre-chosen for you to walk upon, so the sooner you accept your path and your walk and your steps and whatever has happened to you, thank God for it, and then things will drastically change in your life for the better. In all things, give thanks, as it says in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 16 through 18. In all things, give thanks. Now, I know that that's very hard to do. Some things happen in your life that are hard to thank Him for, hard to appreciate, hard to realize the wisdom behind it. But as it is stated in Romans 8:29, all things work together to the good of them that love God and are called predestinated according to His purposes. Are you given over to thanks for His purposes? Are you satisfied with the condition of your life right now? You say, well, I've been struggling, I've been murmuring, I've been complaining, I've been bitter and envious and jealous and hateful and indifferent. I've been hot and cold, in and out, on and off, up and down. Well, that is because you have reached a state where you are stretching your position beyond its means. When you get stretched out of shape, when your mind gets stressed, where the activities around you are not the activities of your preference, when you're miserable, when you're cold, when you're lonely, when you're wet, when you're tired, when you're angry, when you're fretful or stressful, turn back to the very problem that is causing it and thank God in your heart for it. And all things give thanks. I am not from beneath. You are from beneath, he said, to the Pharisees and the scribes and the Sadducees. I am from above. You are of this world. I am not of this world. I love that scripture. Ecclesiastes chapter 11, verse 1. Cast your bread upon the water. Waters. Plural. Let the man be born of water and the Spirit, he cannot see the kingdom of heaven, or he cannot enter. Take the elements of earth, water, air, and fire, and the four beasts and the creatures, and let's go hunting for the truth. Second half coming up. I'll be back. This is Pastor Betty. I'm glad it. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. This is Pastor Betty. Good to have you with us tonight. We're in the series of the four faces of the creatures of Ezekiel 1:10. The lion, There's times when you must be aggressive. The Bible said there's a time for all things. And so a lion never hunts when he's full. The lion is one of the most ferocious beasts of the field. He is an excellent hunter, swift, agile, crafty, and wise. So therefore he's called the king of the beast. When the lion roars, all of the forest trembles. So then, there is the lion of the tribe of Judah. This aspect is the aggressiveness of the soul as it pursues, or should pursue, its spiritual flight patterns as it hunts down its prey, and only a hungry lion will hunt. So then, the aspect of the eagle, it soars into the high places, or on the mountaintops, the eagle observes the valley below, and everything that moves is in his sight or field of vision. So then, you must be a watchful eagle kind. Remember, Christ said at the end, where the eagles are gathered together, there I will be amongst them. So then, the gathering of the eagles taking place in the prophetic end times is the outpouring dates of the man who represented the man of Luke 22:10, which I described to you last night. And then, of course, the prodding of the ox that symbolizes the gentle nature of the Spirit and the wisdom and the ability to give itself in sacrificial terms as it pursues its destiny. The soul is on a flat pattern. And all four of those aspects, it must contain the characteristics of the 12 signs of the zodiac. The soul must pass through the birth canal of the signs of the zodiac. Ever how many times it takes in the revolution of the evolution of the procession of the soul through the equinox chain of the procession is given to each soul. Some master sooner than others. The Bible says some are slow to proceed in the heart. Some come into incarnations and they pursue the material, the earthly, the wealthy. They pursue wealth. But listen, as it is, a feast is made for laughter and wine maketh merry, but money answereth all things. Ecclesiastes chapter 10, verse 19. But by much slothfulness the building decayeth, and through idleness of the hands the house droppeth through, or becomes in a sad state of repair. If you neglect the health principles of the clean, unclean laws that Yahweh has designed to keep your house healthy and to keep you producing in a good body that's free of disease, sometimes we go over to excess. I know I smoked for the first 28 years of my life. And then the Father spoke definitely to my spirit and said, enough is enough. Cease the lust or the carnal desires or the pleasures and give those up in a sacrificial offering to me, and I will cleanse your lungs, your brain, your bloodstream, and your organs who have become addicted to the nicotine. The Bible says all things are lawful, but all things are not expedient. It is hard for me to smoke and chew gum and think about Yahweh at the same time. I couldn't do it. You have to steal your mind, steal the fleshly desires. Every time I get in a prayer session, a fast session, the nicotine urge would overpower me. And the same goes with a gluttonous spirit. If you've got a glutton spirit, it's just as bad as nicotine. Some people consume nicotine, and then they have a gluttony spirit that forbids or will not permit them to fully give themselves over to the Father. Curse not the king, no, not in thy faults. Well, listen to me. As a man thinketh, so he will eventually become. If you think long enough or hard enough on anything, as it enters the heart, it will take a seed and begin to grow, and it becomes rooted, and it's hard to eradicate the faults that can turn either corrupt, violent, good, or bad. See, faults can take any course of action that will produce a reaction into your heart and cause your mouth to sin, for your flesh man to err, as it is said. Curse not the king, that is something that is superior to you. Most of the time, we curse only that which is superior to us, because we don't understand it. We either are jealous, envious, spiteful, or despiteful, or we have no idea of what's going on. I don't know how to build a rocket ship. I'm not envious of those who do build them, because I've never desired to go. Now, if I wanted to go and couldn't build one, I'd probably curse the process, curse the knowledge I didn't have, or curse those that wouldn't share it with me. So, when the fault, the Bible says, as a man thinketh, as a man has a fault, so he is. Make sure your faults are clean, pleasant, pure, peaceful, gentle, righteous. I know that's a hard saying, because the Bible says the carnal mind is right there ticking right alongside with the mind that I'm trying to describe, which is the spirit mind. But I have always had this saying, think about it, the way to replace a bad habit is with a good one. And most of the time, a bad habit is preferred over a good habit. Smoking is preferred over non-smoking. Non-smoking is not fun. A flesh man creates a habit. I've never taken cocaine, but they say it is one of the most pleasant, get you high and give you pleasant things and thoughts. It is one of the most pleasant drugs ever induced into the body, or introduced. But they say that one hit of cocaine will automatically produce a level of understanding of a thought that you've never had, places which you've never, a ecstasy that you've never had, that will always, in the back of your mind, you will always be tempted with the thought of going back and taking up the cocaine to get back where you were. Curse not the rich in the bedchambers, for a bird of the air, that is the symbol of air, earth, air, water, and fire. Those are the four elements that go with the four phases of the man. He shall carry the voice, and that which hath wings shall tell the matter. Oh, my. As you understand that in chapter 12, also them that shall be afraid of that which is high. You see, Adam and Eve ran after the fall from the presence of Almighty God and hid themselves. They were afraid of that which is high. And fears shall be in the way. Fear not, little flock. It is the Father's will to give you the kingdom. And yet, when we don't see it materialize or manifest in the acceptable time of our understanding, we beget the fear, and fear brings a torment, and torment breeds impatience, and so therefore, a lot of times, we lose sight of the way. The almond tree shall flourish, and the grasshopper shall be a burden, and desire shall fail. Because man goeth to his long home, the mourners go about the streets, and then the silver cord will be loosed. This is what binds the soul to the flesh man. It is known as the silver cord. These are strands of light that are attached to the soul. This is the production of the aura. Everything that breathes gives off a variety of seven colors. Seven is complete, eight is a new beginning, and nine is the resurrection of those thoughts. The silver cord loosed as a golden bulb, this is the encasement of the inward man, described as sent a container within a container of flesh. The Bible said there's an inward man and an outward man, and for such purposes, serve the inward. Deny the lustly flesh of the body, the mind, and the carnal. It wants to be entertained. It loves refreshing things. It loves to do those things which are not convenient. It has weaknesses, and the flesh man is the fault man. Therefore, flesh and blood shall not inherit the kingdom. When the fountain shall be dried up, or the wheel shall be broken, and the cistern will no longer hold water, then, listen to me carefully, Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse 7 and 8, then shall the dust return to the earth, as it was, and the spirit, the inward man, oh hallelujah, shall return unto God who gave it. Oh my, isn't it wonderful that we would have an opportunity at the end of this life to take up life? That we'll have a temporary existence in a flesh body with an eternal spirit that we live on before or after the fact. As he came forth of his mother's womb, naked shall he return. Naked shall he return to go as he came, and shall take nothing of his labor which he may carry away in his hand. For who knoweth what is good for man in this life? Do you believe that you chose the route that you've taken, the parents that you selected? Do you believe you had a hand in all of the things that are happening to you now for a necessary necessity? If you do, you understand the mechanics of what Pastor Buddy is trying to tell you. And if you do, out of prison, you will come to reign. Break forth out of the prison by accepting your position as of now. To improve it and better it, thank God for the circumstances now surrounding your life. And in doing so, you will eliminate the karma attached to the situation, make peace with all men if possible, forgive your brothers and your debtors as you forgive those who have trespassed against you. And all these things will bring you about to a position of peace. Be not rash with your mouth, and let not your heart be hasty to utter anything before God, for it is certain that God is in heaven and you are upon the earth. Therefore, let your words be few, because you can't make one hair white or one black. And I've always been amazed by that, because he knows the number. So then, somebody is better about the conditioning for the soul and what it needed to pick these things out, predetermine them, and set them into your pathway, and you walk the walk. As Gary said, if you walk the walk, you must talk the talk. When you vow a vow unto God, defer not to pay it, for he hath no pleasure in fools. pay that which thou hast vowed. I vowed to quit smoking, broke my vow, and he made me pay for it. With a sickness that came upon my throat, and I paid for it, and still have that little fleshly reminder there constantly, and will have it till I die, as a reminder of my disobedience of breaking the vow. For better is he that shouldest not vow than that thou shouldest vow and not pay. So you should suffer not your mouth to cause your flesh to sin, neither say thou before the angel that it was an error. Do not be bitter against the angel that picked out, these angels are ministering spirits, guides, predetermers, pre-selectors, if you will, for your life path. Choose your words wisely, and in all things give thanks. Then the angel will say, you've learned your lesson. I'll let you move on to a better thing. Each time you do that, you improve your walk until you walk in peace. Now, let me give you one final thought, and we'll spin it out into a revelation that may help you in your understanding of a pre-selection, predetermination, or how to eliminate karma, which I dearly wanted to teach this message at the Feast Festival in Andrews, and time didn't permit. It just seemed like that 8 days just breezed by, and there were so many things, so many avenues, so many expressions of truth, love, and spirit manifestations that it wasn't an event that took place. And so then tonight, my spirit still pressing hard upon my heart to expound on these things for someone, perhaps, maybe, listening, that this shall give you an understanding of predetermination of why or how or when the angels who were assigned the mission of watching over you, your guardians that surround you night and day, by the way. You say, oh, if they did, they wouldn't let these terrible things happen unto me. By your words you're justified, and by your words you're condemned. If you speak it and claim it, then that which you speak shall come upon you. Job said, that which I feared came upon me. One generation of the book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 1, verse 4, passes away. Notice that. I've noticed in my 66-year walk, the generation that produced me is no longer. Very few, if any, are alive at this moment. They passed away. And another generation cometh. Now there's generations happening after me, and I will soon take my position for the generation that will pass away. What is laid up for them that love and serve Yahweh? Has the eye seen? Has the ear heard? Has it entered into the heart of man what God has laid up for them that love and serve Him? Have you got a record? For every record shall be brought into existence before the Father, which all things are naked and open. And you shall give an account for every idle word that you speak. Every hair is on your head numbered. You cannot make one white or black. And the experience you've had is a learning experience. Learn to accept what has happened to you and give thanks for it. Move into the next realm of your adventure with thanksgiving, and the Father will make each step more successively easier for you to comprehend or deal with life and its realities, and then something good will happen to you. For all things do, and a truth, whether they be good or bad, in your pathway, work to the good of them that love you. I love him, and love those who are put in your pathway. Now, make sure that that path is a path of love, understanding, forgiveness, acceptance. When you're rejected, love, it's hard. It's hard to love those that hate you and despise you and cast your name out as evil, but he said to do it. It is a lesson that many of us fail to achieve, And so then we have to come back and redo that which we couldn't do, for the sun ariseth, and the sun goeth down, and hasteth to its place where it arose. Are you listening to me? Compare yourself to be the sun. The sun will arise, it'll be born, and the sun will begin to come down to the generation that will leave. And it will hasten to its place, or go back to God from which it came. The wind goeth toward the south, and turneth about into the north. It whirleth about continuously, that's describing the soul, and the wind returneth again, according to its circuit. The silver cord are the strands of light that are attached to the soul, to give it these paths that are predetermined for you to walk upon and to learn or to accept these things that are given to you. The Bible said, let us lay aside every weight and sin. You can't lay it aside until it's been observed or used or a teaching lesson has come from it, which is its purpose. Paul said, I would have not known sin except the law said, thou shalt not. And that which I found to be good was death, and that which I found to be death became good. All the rivers ran into the sea. All he that believeth on me, out of his belly shall flow the rivers that run back into the sea. A generation of spirits are born, and then they return back to the sea. Every drop of water that was initiated in its original form is still here upon the planet. Not one drop is perished. You say, well, it evaporates off. It evaporates, goes up as moisture, returns back in a condensed form, and returns back to the earth. So is the soul. So is the leaf cycle. We were talking about the beauty of the mountains here in the Smoky Mountains. Now they're at the peak almost of their fall color as they begin to die away. And there is a little note of observance, if you will see, as you look into the mountains and you see the beautiful colors, you are awed by those colors. But if you will look closely, there will be one particular color that stands out among all of the coloration of the foliage, and that is the evergreen. That is a reminder that the soul is evergreen or is eternal. The rivers run into the sea. All the rivers, tributaries upon the earth run into the sea, and yet the sea is not full. Isn't that amazing? Unto the place from which the rivers come, there they shall return again. So it is with the soul. The thing which hath been, it is that which shall be. And that which is done is that which shall be done, and there is no new thing under the sun. There is no new thing under the sun. It is there a thing to which one might say, see this, that it is new. It has already been, for the ages which were before are now. And that which is now has already been, and that which is now will be again. Is there anything where I be said, see, this is new? It's been already of old time. So everything that is happening to you has happened to you because it was programmed or pre-programmed as an obstacle or a mountain for you to climb, a valley for you to lay in, whatever the necessary things that the soul needs, it was before. Well, my, how time has flown. Praise Yahweh. Dr. Gary, my sponsor tonight, 1-877-289-7439, Dr. Jack, 1-888-281-7320. Now, I've got caught up in the age of existence that has been and will be again. I'll see you tomorrow night on the Shepherd's Call. Pastor Betty, Yahweh bless. We'll be right back.
thank you for listening to The Shepherd's Call, live on Truth Radio. We hope you'll join us each evening from 8 to 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on this same station. Praise Yahweh.